please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
I can't hear anything, Mr. Deshaies.
I cannot believe I did all that talking and you all could not hear me. Oh, goodness. Now, I can't go back and say all that stuff. Lord, all this technology. Well, guys, we're talking today about another shooting in Oklahoma where a man was gunned down because his car was not operable, and the police came to find out why his car was in the middle of the road. At one point, the man was walking toward his car with his hands up, and the officer said he wasn't complying, but he had his hands up. And here we are with another African-American male who's been gunned down with no firearm in his car, no firearm on him. There were 3 to 4 police officers there on the scene and a helicopter up in the air. How can these people continue to do this? I mean, at what point do they understand that they're driving a wedge between the police officers and African Americans? At what point do they recognize that we can't not continue to be treated in this fashion without there being some type of repercussions? And I'm certainly one not for violence, but you cannot keep perpetrating violence on a group of people and not want them to react. We were doing a peaceful demonstration by not standing up at the flag, and here you still are not paying attention to what it is that you're doing. Kathy, are you able to talk with us today?
No, I can't really talk today. My back has been hurting, so I'm in a lot of pain, but I am going to listen.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm here.
Okay. What are your thoughts, sir, about this continued action where African-American men are being gunned down in the street?
My thoughts on it is basically it's a criminal justice system. It's criminals that justify their system. And when you look at the government, you know, we have to look and see if the rules apply to us anymore. You know what I mean? A lot of times we assume that these laws apply to us in these streets, and a lot of people follow these rules and these guidelines and they operate under them. But when they operate under them, they become a victim. You know, the corporation was designed for us to benefit from it. We're not benefiting from it anymore. So I think it's a tragedy whenever something that was designed for you to benefit from something but is no longer helping you benefit. I think it's a tragedy. I think we need a new political party. Because both political parties, as far as Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, is not doing nothing. They're not talking about the police brutality. You know, they're not talking about the minorities. They got to deal with the majority of the pain, you know. So, and the minority, you know, they outweigh the rich. So the issues that they speak about, you know, as far as it's not far as basically not coming to lower class citizens or middle class citizens, it's just ridiculous. I think basically we have to learn how to take the black dollar out of white America.
And well, we're gonna have to do something, because clearly the focus has been put on this issue. The professional football players from all kind of different teams are bringing attention to it. People are not paying attention. These people are not talking to themselves and trying to make sure that they don't make these kind of mistakes. This is not a mistake anymore. I'm starting to believe that some of these people go to work looking for the opportunity to fire their weapons. Regina, what are your thoughts?
There's clearly evident that they're not talking about this before they leave out of the office and hit the road. It's not in the forefront of their mind that they should be fair. It's not in the forefront of their mind that they should not stereotype. Someone is not doing their job, and it is infuriating me to the point anytime you see a Caucasian female have no sort of, well, and maybe that's what it was. Maybe she feared this black man because of his size, but he wasn't aggressive towards her. She had no reason to fear him. So what was the purpose of her doing that? It's something ingrained, and it's something deep down in the spirits of these people that's causing this to happen.
And I think you're right. I mean, when you have something brought to your attention to the point that is being brought to these people's attention, and you still are not, you're not recognizing that you need to take the proper steps. I mean, Regina, you and I have been in the classroom, so I'm going to try to talk about this like in a classroom situation. You're in the classroom, and your principal comes and he tells you that he's heard there's an epidemic of teachers talking to students in an unprofessional manner. Then you would think that those teachers would pay a little more attention to what they say to the students,
mm-hmm.
so that you would reduce those things from happening.
The
but
likelihood
here we are,
of the occurrence.
We have a situation. We have a situation where every 28 hours, an unarmed African American is being gunned down by police officers. And this has, we're talking about people who are supposed to protect us. Don't tell me anything about the crime in the black community. These two don't have anything to do with each other. This was a man whose car was disabled, and he needed assistance, but what he got was a bullet in his back. Andre, what are your thoughts, Andre, tonight?
There's several components. I appreciate the gentleman that said that we really need to look at ways of reducing black funds circulating through white pockets. I think that's when we'll start getting some attention. And you and Regina are correct in the fact that in our work life, if something is brought to our attention that's not right, surely we start taking actions to make sure that it's corrected. Whether it was true or not, you want to reduce anyone adding on to that allegation, if you will, because from their perspective, if they see it, you know, you just go with it. But in this particular case, I'm sure she's going to say, Regina, you're already ahead of it, she's going to say that she feared for her life. I mean, that's just we know that that's the answer. But just because the gentleman was black and she feared for her life, then she don't need to be a police officer. And to your point, people are raised with certain ideals, certain expectations, and certain expectancies, if you would. And they're just living that out. And I'm just interested to see what's going to happen. But, you know, we continue to see it over and over. And my first thought when we say, you know, we keep seeing this, what's going on, until people want to change, they're not going to change. And sometimes you have to motivate people to change. And obviously right now we haven't did anything to we talked about consequences the other day and choices, and we haven't put anything in place that will cause a person to rethink their actions because of the consequences.
Well, I can tell you that at a minimum they should change the process. And that instead of paid leave, you should get unpaid leave to see if that would get their attention. The problem with this is that you can't say that you're not aware. We have, you know, since the young man from the 49ers has been on a knee, we've had people all over the professional NFL start getting on a knee for the same reason. So clearly, nationwide, attention is being brought to the issue about them gunning down unarmed black people. So the fact that you are not thinking about what it is you're doing says something about your mindset. I know that, you know, in corporate America, when there's an unsafe situation and people are getting hurt over and over and over related to the same cause, they're going to seek to solve that problem. But why is white America not seeking, or these police officers not seeking to solve their problem related with gunning down unarmed men? Do they think they have just the right because they're scared to gun people down and just move on like no harm, no foul?
They actually do think that they have, they absolutely think that they have the right. And the fact that their endorsement is for candidates for the presidency will allow this type of behavior to continue, let you know that they actually do feel that they have the right. And I agree, you make a very good point. You know, we talked about this before on one of the instances where someone had gotten shot. And, you know, the best way for you to get a paid vacation and you're on the police force, go kill a black person. Because, I mean, who wouldn't want to be off from work on paid leave? Because you know you're going to get off. All you have to do is say that, you know, you fear for your life. So you're just getting some time off while they sort through the process with pay. I mean, you're getting paid without even working. So who wouldn't want that? That's an incentive. Like I say, instead of having an incentive to change your behavior, that's an incentive to warrant that same behavior being duplicated.
And it's unreal. And, I mean, you could hear, if you listen to the tape, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to tape it and share it with you. She clearly says he refused to put his hands up. But in the tape, he does have his hands up. So why aren't you feeling more comfortable the man got his hands up He's not threatening you, but yet when you get to his car and there are 3 to 4 officers, so you have backup. That should give you even more comfort. But yet she guns him down in the street and don't give him aid. They took quite a while before they gave this man any kind of attention to try to save his life. 4484, you're a younger man. What are your thoughts now related to police officers and what our world is going through right now?
Well, hold on for a second. My thoughts on it is very, my perspective on it is very, very different. I say now we have become foreign people to this nation. You know, if the cops can kill somebody like that, then they have shown that black people have become foreign to this nation and that some laws don't apply to them. You know, because if the laws did apply to them, then basically we wouldn't be going through half of the stuff that we're going through now. So we have to ask ourselves as black people, do the laws actually apply to us? Because if you look, Harriet Tubman, she was an outlaw, you know what I mean? She broke the law to change the law. If you look, all the black people in history were fugitives and breaking the law to change the law. So we have, like, Martin Luther King, he was a fugitive, he broke the law, he went in jail, and he changed the law. So we have to look now, and we have to see that we have to raise our diplomatic missions again to increase foreign policies. And this is a hard job to do because I'm basically saying that all of us are not equal. You know, you got one person over here in America or on TV saying we're all equal, but then you see one person is showing more authority than the other as far as the police being involved. If we were all equal, you know, it wouldn't be no judges. It wouldn't be no police officers. You know, everybody would speak their piece and keep it moving. But what I think about the perspective of the whole situation, I think that I really think that when they gun these people down, you know, they're making a hell of a decision to show people live on TV, you know, and on the internet a murder. It, you know, back in the day, it was hard for a kid to see a murder. If a kid seen a murder, it would mess up his life, you know, back in the day. But now, millions of kids, millions of children are watching this and on internet and on TV, and they seeing that, you know, the message is getting pretty clear. You know, death might be the only way we see freedom as black people.
All right, we're going to take a break. You know, we could talk about this straight through, but I do have to take some breaks. So we're going to take a short break and we'll come back and continue our conversation about where we're going related to this gun violence being perpetrated on African Americans by police officers.
All right.
My father do. sounds like when the dove cries.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, back with you. A few minutes before the show started, Regina and I were just talking about how when police come up, that we're going to say, hey, I don't need no help, man. I don't need no help. Go on and do, you know, go on and take care of your business. Leave me alone. And it's sad that we are now having to be afraid of the police. Your car breaks down. And this happened in Florida, down in near Miami, where an officer killed a man who was waiting for a tow truck. And so this is not just something happening in one region of the country. This is happening all over the place, where people are just so quick to feel like their lives are in jeopardy when it's related to an African American. Now, this particular officer in South Florida has been charged, but we don't know if he's going to be convicted. There's been some incidences in South Carolina where unarmed men were reaching for the driver's license. The man asked them to get their driver's license, and he shot at him, shot at the gentleman four or five times. And the only reason the man is living is because he was a bad shot. You know, so Regina and I were kind of just laughing it off. We're not going to accept any assistance from the police officer because we don't know if our lives are in more danger when they pull up than less danger. Well, you remember the conversation, Regina? Audrey, what are your thoughts on that? Doesn't it make it hard for you when a police officer pulls up down to ask to give you assistance that you don't know where the situation is going to go to?
Yeah, that is the situation. That is the situation because of the fact you just don't know exactly what to expect anymore from those who really are supposed to be helping us. I wouldn't say that once a police officer pull up on you and say that, you know, oh, I don't need any help. But you do have to just be mindful of your actions. And it's unfortunate that we are in a situation that we're just uncertain of the help that we'll receive. I like the perspective that the gentleman said about blacks really being really foreigners in this land. I think he has some valid points there because while we want to think and we want to believe that we should have equality, and evidence is showing that that's not the case, especially if we see repeatedly over and over and over again, you know, black men, black youth, and even females are just, we're just being gunned down. And I think if we were truly citizens with all the full privileges associated with citizenship, we wouldn't see this being repeated over and over at the level in which we're standing.
And you're right. Another thing he said was that sometimes you have to break the law in order to change the law. And, you know, we don't want to be radical. We want to do things peacefully. But they don't understand that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I'm a person who believes in universal rules and universal laws. And you got to understand that you cannot keep going around shooting innocent people and think there's going to be a positive result come from it. We're already losing a lot of tax dollars that are being paid out to these families, but you can't get your loved one back because you got $2 or $3 million. You can't get your loved one back because now, you know, the things that are going on in the community that needs money, but y'all got to pay these families off. And it just seems like you ask, what can we do to stop this situation? you had this ball player who decided to do something that was peaceful, and he got bombarded by all kind of negative publicity. But here it is, you have, it doesn't stop. They don't stop. And it just seems like it goes on and on and on. Regina, are you back with us? All right, we're going to go back to our young caller in D.C., 4484. You made a good statement about it may take breaking the law, but don't you think that might be a little drastic? I mean, when you hear policemen being ambushed, is that the kind of thing we want to advocate?
Well, we want to advocate that we have bigger issues at hand than worried about a person having to work at work the next day. Basically, what I'm saying is a lot of people are stuck into the American dream, you know, the imagination. It's an image of a nation that they are stuck in, basically. They're stuck in the American dream. And what I mean by that is we have people that will say, I have to go to work tomorrow, other than saying, you know what, if my brother go to jail, then you're going to have to take me too. You know, we got other people that basically saying that they rather see their people stand alone. So what you have is a psychological problem here. And I don't say it doesn't take, I don't say it's not radical at all, because for black people, speaking on behalf of the black people, we've been going through for centuries not knowing our father's name, for centuries killing our brothers just like Cain in the Bible. And for centuries, we've been uneducated, unconscious, and ignorant to the fact that we have bigger issues at hand than worrying about where we're going to sleep. The thing is, the bigger issue is that we as people, we as black people have the issue of freedom. Is death the only way we'll see freedom? To be free in America. Is freedom free? Did we fight for, did we get equal rights, or did we fight for equal privileges? Because it's like now they're telling us we only have privileges to these things, but we don't have the right to. So that's the thing that we need to fight on, basically creating a new political party, one that sees the people, and one that take care of the people, because we make up the population, really. If you look at it, we make up the population, and not only do we make up the population, but we built this country. Black people built this country. So I don't think it's radical at all. Whenever the dog bites the hand and feed him, I think that's when, you know, it's time for not war, but it's time for a renegotiation of a peace treaty. And what I mean by that is when the Indians and the pilgrims came over and they, you know, shot up their land and raped their women, the Indians didn't just say, what should we do? Well, we're going to make peace with them. What should we do? The Indians said, you know what? They did that to us. We're going to do that to them. And that's the way it should be.
All right, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and finish up our show today and continue the conversation.
I need some love in, and baby, satisfactual feeling.
Get up, get up, get up, get up.
Let's make love tonight.
To taxes, and it comes to understanding how this corporation and this government works, I think it's important for us to realize that what you're saying, it could be a source of a solution. But also, when we look at you know, how it was built and structured. You know, police came from slave capturing and everything like that. So it's just, and it's basically a prison industrial complex, meaning it's a private company. You know, they put these people in private companies and everything like that. So we have to really look at the people and say, should we destroy the prison system or not destroy the prison system, basically, you know? And to make it swift and short, what I'm trying to say is that we should basically look at these people that's killing all these people on the street, and we should ask ourselves, are we really citizens of America, and what is a citizen? You know, do they have the right to do what they're doing? Because according to law, it looks so, you know. It looks like they have the right to do what they're doing, so we have to change the laws. We have to change the policies, you know, that they operate under. I think that's where we can hit them hard at.
And they have to be held accountable. They cannot think that it's going to be gravy for them to go back home and spend time off the job with pay, and they don't have to pay a price for this. It is happening too much. We're not talking about something that happens every blue moon. Again, according to statistics, an unarmed black man is shot by police officers every 28 hours. And so that's just too much of a behavior that is consistent with not doing your job properly. And that person don't get a mulligan. That person don't get a do-over. That person is no longer with us, and their families have to deal with the loss of that child or that father or that aunt or uncle. And it keeps happening way too much for us just to be sympathetic to the police officers.
I agree. I think that when you look at these police, you know what I mean? Basically, check on them to see if they're doing their job right. But you can't even go to a police officer and say, hey, let me speak to your supervisor, you know? Because the supervisor is going to agree with everything that the officer says because he's the one that put him on the job. So I think we got to check really these old folks out here to be sitting in these positions for I don't even know how many years now. But they've been sitting in this position and they basically abusing their authority. You're right, we should hold them accountable. Because to be a police officer is a responsibility, is like a blessing and a curse. You know, you gotta take care of it is a responsibility. A blessing is a responsibility, and a responsibility is a blessing. So it's like you're taking care of a child. You know, it's like you're taking care not only the youth, but you're securing the future as far as taking care of the present people of the day. You know, so these people don't recognize their jobs nowadays, and they don't see what's going on. You know, mainly these people come from background of being racist or fear driven. You know, and if this world operates under fear, you know, that's a bad thing. So these police officers been operating under fear. That's just a terrible thing as well. So I feel sorry.
Regina, we're coming to the end of the show. Regina, would you like to give us your last thought?
Well, I've been listening, and one thing but in particular, the young man said something about how we let our brethren go to jail and don't try to go with them. I know Martin Luther King said something one time that the only thing worse than the noise of our enemies is the silence of our friends. So when we stop making comments, when we stop protesting, when we start ignoring these things, these occurrences, and James, I'm telling you, I am livid right about now. Because even though that was a male, I'm almost 60. If I step out of my car, am I a threat to a police officer? I feel like I could have been a target. That man could have been me. So now my life is in danger, and I don't like having that spirit of fear. I don't like it. And I think something's going to have to come from the Justice Department all the way from D.C., where when these incidents occur, these officers cannot be placed on paid leave. They are on unpaid leave, and if they are found to be innocent, then they can receive retroactive pay. But until then, they need to be on unpaid leave. They need to feel the hurt and the sorrow of these families, of these people that they are killing. I am upset, and I am waiting and hoping for the next protest, the next whatever to occur, because this was totally unnecessary.
Well, Audrey, I see that you're back. We're going to give you the last word. Regina had an opportunity to share her last word, and then we'll go ahead and finish out the show. But, you know, we have to get to action. We have to be committed to making this something different happen, because we can't keep going in this direction. Audrey?
No, and Audrey, I think Regina is very passionate, and I think we all reach our limit. Each of us have our breaking point, if you would. We have put up with it for so long. And I just regret that it's going to reach a point where sometimes the only way a person know how to respond, you know, you try being nice for so long, you try to be, you know, agreeable and work through the relationship, you know, in a positive manner. But if you continue to be misused and you start resenting, you know, what's occurring to you, well, then we all go to our natural state. Our natural state is by first, your first defense is always, how can you protect yourself? And, you know, it's just like honey. If you take honey, for instance, honey can be sweet, but honey can be sticky. And you just don't want that stickiness of us as a generation and as a people to come out. But unfortunately, that's where we're heading.
And Regina, you are so right, Regina, when you say about Martin Luther King saying the silence of those who are your friends. I mean, we cannot afford to be silent on this. We cannot keep allowing our relatives to be dying in the street, to be dying without consequences to those who are pulling the trigger. And I'm tired of hearing these guys talking about, what about your black-on-black crimes? That ain't got nothing to do with it. We pay police officers to protect and serve us. You need to be worrying about your job, not about what somebody's doing who's a criminal. He's not a professional. He don't get paid to protect me. You get paid to protect me, and I'm not going to sit back and allow you to continue to take the lives of innocent people without there being some consequences.
James, you are so right, and you have had the last word. You are very, very, very right on this. We are upset. We are upset. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's ridiculous.
And you're almost hearing it every other day. Every other week, you're hearing the same thing happening, and they're not learning. They're not abiding by it. They're not going back and saying, okay, what can we do to change this?
And nobody's, right. It seems though nobody's trying to change.
Well, it's people out there trying to change it. It's just that the people out there trying to change it are the people that basically are not having the best solutions to change it. You know, you look at Dr. Umar Johnson, he's trying to change it. He's saying, let's all just go back to Africa. And everybody's like, go back to Africa. Marcus Garvey already said that. So it's just people coming up with solutions, but the solutions that they're coming up with is not for the entire people. It's not benefiting the majority of the people, you know. So like what the NFL player did, you know, he made a stand, you know, but it just wasn't sitting the whole people when he made that stand against the Constitution to sit down, you know. So I think that it's a shame. I think it's a shame. I think we have to create a new political party, like the Panther Party did, like other people in this country did before. We have to create a new political party that's going to benefit the people and raise diplomatic missions to increase foreign policies, because right now they're giving their oath of obligations to the Constitution, and their oath of obligation to the Constitution is binding us into slavery. You know, it's supposed to be an emancipation, a pre-marcation of emancipation during slavery, and we ain't been emancipated yet. You know what I mean?
Look here, I always got to cut y'all off because the hour is gone again. Look, I want to thank you all for y'all continued support. I'll be back here tomorrow at 6 p.m., and I want you back here ready and prepared to talk about issues. See you all tomorrow.